This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, in our series on being the church, we've looked at some serious issues and studied how to be a disciple, trusting Jesus. Today, we're going to talk about how to persevere even when things don't look so good. Our man for today is Noah, and we're starting out in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. When the Lord saw that human wickedness was widespread on the earth and that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time, the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was deeply grieved. Then the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I created off the face of the earth, together with the animals, creatures that crawl, and birds of the sky, for I regret that I have made them. Skipping to verse 8. Noah, however, found favor with the Lord. Now, for Genesis chapter 7. God told Noah to go get 7 pairs of the clean animals and 2 of every kind of unclean animal and put them on the ark. This 2 of every kind of unclean animal explains why we have cockroaches and mosquitoes. Now, starting in verse 4, 7 days from now, I will make it rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living thing I have made, I will wipe off the face of the earth. And Noah did everything that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood came and water covered the earth. So Noah, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives entered the ark because of the flood waters. From the animals that are clean and from the animals that are not clean and from the birds and every creature that crawls on the ground, 2 of each, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, just as God had commanded him. 7 days later, the flood waters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the sources of the vast watery depths burst open. The floodgates of the sky were opened, and the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, looking at the passage, the word says that human wickedness was widespread and that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time. I'm going to save the melodrama by not asking if this sounds familiar because of what's going on right now, because I know from a fatalistic point of view, the answer would obviously be yes. So what's different here is that God decided to destroy the earth with a flood. In most of our churches, ministries, and Christian books and literature, we hear and read about how merciful God is and how loving He is. The decision to wipe out everything flies in the face of the average church's stereotypical portrayal of God as being just this kindly, grandfatherly figure who sits on the park bench and gives candy to the children. But here God is judging the earth. In the process, Noah is found to be faithful. Interestingly enough, if you read the text, nowhere does it say that Noah's wife nor his sons found favor with the Lord. For us men, guys, this is our injunction to live righteously so that our ways and our lifestyle can be a blessing and a covering for our families. So now, let's put ourselves in Noah's place. God tells Noah to build an ark. God gives Noah the exact dimensions of the ark and what he's supposed to do with it. He was to build a 3-level ark, and it's only going to have, if we read the passage literally, 1 door. And it's on the side. Then the Lord tells Noah that he will bring a flood. The story doesn't tell us if Noah lives by the seashore. I've seen a speculative map of what the world must have looked like in Noah's time, and there were oceans. But we don't know where Noah lives exactly. So here's the first thing. God told Noah to do something that seems impossible to do. This thing is to be longer than a football field. Because a football field, you know, is 100 yards long, that's 300 feet, with two 10-yard end zones, so the whole thing is 360 feet long. Noah's Ark is supposed to be 450 feet long. So that thing is bigger than a football field. It's almost as wide as a football field, and it's supposed to be 45 feet high. The next part of this is that he's supposed to build this enormous thing for a reason that has up to that point been unknown, a flood. You see, Genesis 2, 5 through 6 says, "No shrub of the field has yet grown on the land, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not made it rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. But mist would come up from the earth and water the ground." After this, it says that there were two rivers to water the land. So we get from this that there had been no rain, only something like a continuous dew on the ground. So Noah was told to do something that was seemingly impossible for what appeared to be a very illogical or indeed unknown reason. So what would you do if you were Noah? My guess is that many of us would look up to the sky and say, "You want me to do what?" And because you're gonna do what? Yeah, let's notice that Genesis 6:22 says, "And Noah did this. He did everything that God had commanded him." Now, we can't even think of something comparable to this, except for maybe if we're being told to develop a miracle drug to cure a disease that has yet been unknown. There's no apparent need for this new drug. It would be a cure looking for a disease. Now, Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was yet not seen, and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Peter wrote in 2 Peter 2:5, "And if he didn't spare the world but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, when he brought the flood on the world of the ungodly." Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The Bible says Noah was 500 years old and he fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Word also tells us that Noah was 600 years old when he and his family entered the ark. So let's put together the pieces. Noah was 500 or so when he got the order to build the ark. He was 600 years old when he and his family entered the ark. And then Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now, to make sure we don't overdo it, I looked up the time period for Noah to build the ark and enter it and to be a preacher of righteousness during that time. The Answers in Genesis website tells us that Noah likely preached for 55 to 75 years before the flood. Now, imagine if Noah was a church planter. He preached, and 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 he preached again for 55 years. Noah preached the Word of God. He did this over and over and over. And in that 55 years, there was not one convert. His family was there, but there was not one convert in all of that work. Imagine if you're in retail and you design your sales floor and your displays over and over again. You advertise out the ears. You rearrange the displays again. Then you even get savers cards, you know, where it says, "Do you have your such and such a card?" So they can go beep, beep. And yet, you don't make one sale. And you beat your head against the wall, and there's not a customer to be found, so you rearrange everything again. You get to the point where you send out guys in sandwich board signs, advertising your business, passing out flyers, and still nobody comes. Or if you're a restaurant owner, and you just work and work and work and work and develop the finest recipes with the most delicious food you could ever put in your mouth, and no one walks through the door. I don't know about you, but my guess is that Noah might have been a bit disappointed in the lack of response. He may have even been heartbroken because he knew the truth. He knew what was coming. He knew what was going to happen. And he preached his heart out over and over and over again for 55 years. And nobody listened. He warned them. And he warned them again. And he warned them again. Suppose, though, that Noah's preaching would have been like Peter's on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people would have been added. Genesis 6:22 says, he did everything that God commanded him. He kept doing it, and he kept doing it, and he kept doing it, so much so that in Ezekiel chapter 14, Ezekiel lists Noah, Daniel, and Job as three righteous men. So the truth of the matter is this: God would not have valued Noah any more or any less if he had won 3,000 converts, or he had, like he actually had, none. Why? It's because Noah did all that God commanded him. You see, Noah's success wasn't the number of converts. It was his obedience and his faithfulness. He did the hard things. He kept going even when all of the people might have even ridiculed him for what he was doing. You're building what? But he kept going anyway. And that's what was important. And now don't misunderstand, I'm not trying to get everybody ready for the possibility that you'll never have any results, human-wise, from your ministry. That's not the point. The point is that we have an admonition to keep going out of obedience to the Lord, even if we think we are failing or not seeing any results. Noah shows us God-centered perseverance. He didn't stop believing. As a result, he is regarded as among the most faithful. Genesis 9:1 says, God blessed Noah. This is after the flood. Then God said to Noah in Genesis 9:11, I will establish my covenant with you. So that's the point for today. Noah was prized in God's eyes by his obedience and his faithfulness, because Noah left the results in God's hands. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.